So we'll begin with the Sefer HaChinuch. He was one of the Rishonim who organized the mitzvos based on the Parshios. And in Parshas Emor, he finds the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. And that's called Daber al Bnei Yisrael Leimor B'chodesh HaShvi B'echad LaChodesh Yelachem Shabbosot. So the first part of this pasuk indicates that the first day in the seventh month, which is the month of Tishrei, is a Yom Shabbason, meaning it's a day, as the Sefer HaChinuch says, Shelo Lasos Molocha, that we are enjoined from doing Molocha, from doing labor on Yom Rishon Shel Chodesh Tishrei, on the first day of Chodesh Tishrei. And then the Chinuch always goes into what's called the Sharshei Mitzvah. You know, he tries to find the root of the mitzvah, the meaning of the mitzvah. And he says the following: Hoya michazde hakel al bruav. It is a compassion of God for his creations. Lifkod osam, to remember them. Liros ma'aseihem, and to examine their actions. Yom echad b'chol shana v'shana, on one day in each year. And why is this a great chesed? Kidei shelo yisrabu ha'avonos kol kach, because if he would wait too long, then all the avonos would pile up, a myriad of sins over the course of time. Now every year is a separate unit, v'yeh makom l'kapara. Now he can judge them for the past year and hope that they will do tshuva and therefore will achieve kapara for their sins. For who rav chesed mata klapi chesed. This is a great act of kindness and compassion on the part of Hashem. V'kevan shehemu otim, and since the pileup, so to speak, of sins from the past year is limited, mavir aleim, he can overlook them. Had it been a massive amount of sins over the course of a long period of time, it would be almost impossible to look the other way and not consider the weight of the sins. But now it's only a short period of time, and therefore Hashem could, with his compassion, be marok. Marok means to cleanse them of their sins. And im lo yifkidu atzman rav yisrabu kol kach ad sheyischayev ha'olam kimat kliya chalila. He says that if we wait too long, and there's going to be such a massive accumulation of sins, it could be that the whole world will have to be judged to destruction. Nimtza shayom ha'nichbar hazeh, this very, very glorious day, so to speak, of Rosh Hashanah, is kiyumo shel olam. It guarantees the possibility of the world continuing to exist. L'chein roi lasos oso yontif. Therefore, we make it into a holiday, because we realize that inherent in this day is the ultimate kiyum ha'olam, the salvation of the world, that grants it continued existence. Lios b'minyan mo'ad ha'shana yikarb, and therefore it's included in the constellation of all the holidays of the year, the precious holidays of the year. At the same time, it's a little bit different than a classical holiday where we're just experiencing joy. It's an outburst of simcha. But on the other hand, the flip side is Mitzachu Yom Adin, it's also a day of judgment, Ladun Kol Chai, and every single living creature will be judged. Roy Lamod Bo Beyur of Afachad, we should be overwhelmed by a sense of fear. Yosemu Kol Shari Moed Hashana, that element of fear is not characteristic of any other holiday of the year. It's unique to this holiday. So on the one hand, it's a holiday because this is the day that's going to save the world, so to speak, and keep everything that God created in existence. But on the other hand, it's a day of judgment. And therefore, the Torah calls it Zichron Trua. Now we get to the last part of the pasuk. The first part of the pasuk was establishing the first day in Tishrei as a Yontif, as a Yom Shabbosah. Now we have the second part of the pasuk, which says Zichron Trua Mikra Kodesh. What is the Zichron Trua? Trua, of course, is the blast that sounds like a broken, almost a wailing or moaning sound. Ki atrua kol shavur. The true is a broken sound. Why is it broken? He's not referring to the tkia lefanel, the tkia lachre, but rather the true itself in the middle. Lirmos, this is a hint. She yishbar kol echad tekef tokef yitzro hara. That a person should imitate the true, just like a true is a broken up unit of or sound, so too a person should break up his yetzer hara. And yisnachem al masav haroim, he should feel remorse on all the evil acts that he may have been guilty of. And in that sense, the shofar awakens us to this yisnachem al masav haroim, to this remorse for his past misdeeds. Ukmosh nichtav b'mitzvah shofar bi'orcha b'seder pinchas. In Sefer Bamidbar, the Torah again is going to present the mitzvah of shofar. And there it's going to say, Yom Trua Yilachem, it's a day of blasting the shofar, of blowing the trua. And he says that we'll get to Seder Pinchas, and there we'll discuss in Mitzvah Tav Hei, the mitzvah of blowing the shofar, which is an additional dimension of Rosh Hashanah. And if you ask, why is it that on this Moed, amongst all the Moedim, we omit the recitation of Hallel, we will not say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah? And the answer is because just as we said that this is a day of judgment, which incurs a feeling of fear, of Yirav HaFachad, Ein roi lo li adam lo mashiravu omid bedin, in that situation in which man is standing in judgment, and it's a very serious issue because what's, you know, his life itself is in the balance, that's not an appropriate time to burst out in song and in joy. And that's why Rabbi Avo says at the end of Masechta Rosh Hashanah that when the Malachi Hashoyis came in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and they said, "Mipnei ma ein Yisrael omrim halal b'Rosh Hashanah?" Why is it that halal is omitted on Rosh Hashanah? After all, it's a moed, and it's also omitted on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara explains because Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mason, Psuchim Lefanai, when God on Rosh Hashanah is looking to see where to inscribe a person in these books or in those books, that's a serious day, that's a somber day of solemnity, that's not an appropriate atmosphere for Hallel and for Shira. Now, why does the Torah use the terminology here in Parshas Emor, Zichron Trua? He says, Zichron Truas Melech. It is a kind of a duplication of the Trua that we blow in front of the king. It's interesting, now it has a certain ceremony, it's a certain pageantry or ceremonious element to it in which the king appears, and we're so excited about the fact that the king showed up, so we blow a trua. Now at this point the trua takes on a whole different meaning. It's no longer a broken note that's meant to break us up in our relationship to the Yetzer Hara. Now it becomes a truas melech, bo yagilu b'malkom. And here he quotes a pasuk in Tilm Pei Aleph, harninu lelokim uzenu hariu, b'pnesha heyoso yoshef as al kisei din. On this day, God is sitting on the seat of judgment. And as the pasuk says in Tehillim, tiku b'chodesh shofar, blow the shofar, on this day, Bekesel Yom Chagenu, it's the first day of the year, Ki Chok LiYisrael U'Mishpat LeElokei Yaakov. And this element of blowing the shofar as a Truas Melech has a simcha to it, a joy to it. Roi Lanu L'Smach Oz. So even if we cannot express our simcha in the outburst of a Shira of Hallel, our simcha expresses itself in the blowing of the shofar, the Truas Melech. V'yesh lanu l'smach oz yoser al shehu malkenu, and we are absolutely thrilled, full of joy, in our acknowledgement, our awareness of the fact that God is our King. Why? Sheyata klapei chesed. Because as we said earlier, God in judgment is going to tip the scale based on the attribute of kindness, of compassion, the Yizaka Osonu B'Shavta Osonu will come out Zakoi, and then will be vindicated in the judgment of God, as the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu HaNovi, Ki Hashem Shoftenu, Hashem Echokekenu, Hashem Malkenu, Hu Yoshienu. He is going to bring us salvation. So we have on the one hand a fear of judgment, but on the other hand we have a certain sense of reliance, of security that Hashem at the end, Hu Yoshienu, He will bring us the Yeshua. And now we want to look at the Ran in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. And the Ran wants to know, why is it that judgment falls on Rosh Hashanah? In every other Moed, we know that that period of time is somehow related to what's meant to be happening. But we don't know that what's meant to be happening on Rosh Hashanah has anything to do with that period of time, with that calendar date. Any day of the year potentially could have been suitable for judgment. Bishleim, I understand, Sharadvarim, other parts of the world, not the human part, are judged. Tvua, Perosa Ilan, Mayim, Kolechet Bismano Nidon. Every one of the various branches or parts of the universe is judged on a day that's appropriate for it. So for example, we have, you know, Shmini Atzeres, which is the day in which the Peros HaIlon are judged for rain, and we have other periods of time. The Gemara in Pesachim, he says, goes through each aspect of vegetation and which time of the year it's judged. There's Atzeres and there's Pesach. But Adam, man, the human species, why is he judged on Rosh Hashanah? Why not any other day of the year? And the answer is, based on a psikta, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, on the pasuk, Dirshu Hashem Behi Matz'o, seek out God when He is available. And on the 25th of Elul, the world was created. That's according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees, but that's Rabbi Eliezer. And therefore, if you count from the 25th of El, when the world was created, 6 days, because man was created on the sixth day of creation, you end up with Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, the first day in Tishrei, which is Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, B'Tishrei, Nivra Adam HaRishon. Now, what happens on the day that man is created? A lot takes place on that first day, on that Friday. First of all, on that day, which again coincides with Rosh Hashanah, man, Ola B'machshava, the first hour doesn't mean a 60-minute period, but the first period of time on that sixth day, Ola B'machshava, God has the idea of creating man. Shnia, the next hour, Nityayitzim Alochi Asharis. He takes advice and counsel from the angels. Bishlosha, after they decide, let's create man, right? Nasa Adam V'Tzalmenu Kidmusenu. Kanas Afaro. God goes to the four corners of the earth and He collects the dirt, the afar, from the ground of all the earth. Bidal, the next hour. Gublo, God takes this earth that He has gathered and He fashions it. in a very crude kind of raw material state. And then Behei, on the fifth hour, Rokmo, He already gives it a tzura. He gives it a shape. He begins to shape it up. B'vav, on the sixth hour, so golem. Already you have the raw material that looks like man. It's already a golem. You know, a golem is almost a raw fashioned tzura of man. B'zayin, on the seventh hour, zarek bo neshama. He injects the spiritual aspect of man. and then man is a full being. He's both physicality and spirituality, has the neshama. The next hour, God brings him into Gan Eden. Following that, man is commanded not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. The next hour, which is called the 10th hour, Sarach, man deviates and violates the will of God. B'yachar Sarach, on the 11th hour, Nidon, he's judged. B'shtei Misrei, after the hour of judgment, Yotza B'dimus, he leaves the court, and he got, through divine compassion, he's still alive. He has not been condemned to death. This is going to be a symbol, in a sense, a forerunner of what's going to happen on Aleph Tishrei, on Rosh Hashanah, for your descendants. Just like you, Adam HaRishon, have stood in front of God in judgment on this day of Rosh Hashanah, Yatzos B'dimus, and you survived it, you were not condemned to death, and God had compassion on man, man really deserved to die, is kach sotu asidim b'necha lios omdim lefanai b'yom adin hazeh, on this very day, your descendants will stand in judgment, and v'yotzim b'dimus, and they will survive and be vindicated, rather than condemned to death. And all this is going to happen on the first day of the seventh month, Mikan Smach, L'masha Adam Nidom, Rosh Hashanah Yosef Mishar Yom. It makes sense now that on this day, the day in which Adam HaRishon was judged, and he was vindicated in judgment, man will be judged annually on this day. And the truth is, in the zodiac, up in Shamayim, this month is the month that looks like maznayim, it looks like scales. And those scales represent God's divine mishpat, his judgment of man, the divine judgment of man. And that's why in the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah, we declare, Ze hayom tchilas ma'asecha, zikaron liyom rishon. This is a day that begins Ma'asecha, your creations, being the creations of God, in this sense, the highest level of creation, which is man, begins his existence. And that's the Yom Rishon, that's the first day of the year. And this all reflects the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the world was created on the 25th of Elul, which means that on the 1st of Tishrei, man was created. This is not going to give an answer to our question, according to Rabbi Yeshua, who holds that the world was created in Nisan. And then you might want to ask, why is man judged in Tishrei? And that's a difficult question, but at least according to Rabbi Eliezer, we have an answer. And now we want to move on to the Sefer HaIkrim. This is Rabbi Yosef Albo.
Where is this now?
This is on page 3.
Okay.
And Rabbi Yosef Albo, in his Sefer Ikrim Maimer Dalid, writes, Kimosha Ein Yecholes B'yad HaEish Shelo Lisrof, fire by its very nature, in the natural course of the universe, the way it was created by God, must burn. And therefore, if a tzaddik will come close to a fire, his garments will catch fire. And the same is true that if a Rasha will stay away from the fire, he'll distance himself, then his garments will not be burnt. And that's the way nature works. Kishlotiyabo achana klal lekabal asreif ki ein koch biyad hakochav lahara lehetiv el kifish mashagazetivo. That there are no powers in the face of the universe that can change nature. God created nature, and that's the way it is. However, if the universe is a closed system and every event that happens is based on a natural causality, then lo tie tfila ru'ya klal. It doesn't make sense to justify the meaning and the significance of prayer, because what does prayer mean? Is prayer going to change the change the events that will happen. Those events are caused by nature. And therefore, says Rav Albo, what we have to understand as one of the ikrim, as one of the fundamentals of our faith, is yesh biyado koch l'ratzos v'shelo l'ratzos, that God created nature, and he desires the laws of nature to operate, but they only operate within the framework of the divine will. If through tefillah, through prayer, we can influence the divine will, whatever that means, and therefore God decides that there's going to be chesed, there's going to be compassion, there's going to be protection and salvation, then that's the meaningful power of tefillah. And a person, therefore, in any situation, should prepare himself for tefillah. Now, you might ask, how far is the power of tefillah? And the answer we're going to find in Malachim Beis Perek Chaf Aleph, with regard to a very serious evildoer. His name was Menashe. His father was a great tzaddik, was Chizkiyo HaMelech, the king of Judah, but he was a Rasha Gamur. To such an extent that if you take a look at the Psukim in Perek Chaf Aleph, Malachim Beis, it says, Vayasa Ra Bene Hashem, he perpetrated such evil, Kitovos HaGoyim. It was like the repulsive acts of all the nations of Horish Hashem and Bnei Yisrael, which were vomited forth by God from the land. And amongst the various sins that he was guilty of, this Menashe, the Pasuk says, Hevir es beno ba'esh. He violated what's called Moloch, and he brought his son for the gods of the fire. And the Tanakh goes on to describe that he was guilty of all sorts of forms of Avodah Zorah, of Onein and Nichesh, Ovidoni, Hirbalasel Sarab Beni Hashem Lahachis. He rebelled against God, and he did it in spite. Vayas'eim Menashe Lasarab Min HaGoyim Asher Hish Min Hashem Mipnei Bnei Yisrael. In a certain sense, you could say that Menashe's evil exceeded or superseded that of the Goyim that were expelled from the land. And again, the Psukim go on to describe all the toivos, the abominations, and the sins that he perpetrated. In Pasuk Tes Zayin, for example, in Perek Chaf Aleph, it says that he was guilty of murder. Gam Tamnoki Shofach Menashe. Harbe Miot. To the point in which he filled up Yerushalayim peh lepeh. And these are terrible sins. Now, what eventually happened with this Menashe? If you take a look in Divrei Hayomim Beis, Perek Lamed Gimel, it says, Vayidaber Hashem es Moshe el Menashe, and Menashe doesn't pay any attention. And then it says, Vayove Hashem aleim es sorei atzova shel melech Ashur. Ultimately, this Menashe tragically fell in the hands of Assyria, the greatest enemy of the Jewish people at that time, and they took him and they chained him and they brought him to Bavel. And there, when he is brought to Bavel, the Pasuk testifies by Yikana Ma'od Milufnei HaKerev Osam. All of a sudden, he submitted himself to God, subjugated himself to God, Vayispalel Elav, and he prayed to God. This was probably the first time in his life, in that dire situation, that he prayed to God. Vayaser lo, and God responded to his prayer. Vayishma tchinoso, God hearkened to his supplications. Vayeshivu, and God miraculously brought him back to Yerushalayim l'malchuso. And then vayeda Menashe ki Hashem hu Elokim, and Menashe recognized God. So the Sefer Ikrim, based on this parsha, this whole episode of Menashe, who is a Rasha Gamur, and he went to all extremes to spite God and rebel against God. Afal Piche, nevertheless, Behihotzer lo, when the situation was very dire for him, is Chila es Pnei Hashem Elokav. He looked for God, Vayispal Elov, and God responded and eventually brought him back to Yerushalayim. Says Rav Albo, we see from this two things. Number one, even if the mispalel, the prayer, has reached the tachlis haroa, the worst level of evil, like Menashe, nevertheless, yuchan lekabel hachesed al yedei tefillah, he can still receive compassion based or as a result of his prayers. And number two, shatfili nishmas af mitoch hatzara, even though you'll say, well, Menashe wasn't sincere about his tefillah, he had no choice. He was in chains, he was taken in captivity by the Melech Ashur and Sarzva Melech Ashur, and he was taken to Bavel. You know, there's no atheist in a foxhole. You know, a person obviously in such a situation has to pray to God, but that prayer might be seen as superficial, skin deep, it's not genuine, it's not real. No, even such a prayer is acceptable. So on this day of Rosh Hashanah, which is a day of prayer, we should realize that prayer is meaningful even in those very extreme situations of an evildoer like Menashe.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
Are Reform Jews today worse than Menashe?
I don't think so.
Well, then why are they treated that way by the...
Oh, this I don't know. I think the problem with Reform Jews is not the individual Jews. We love every Jew. We hope that every Jew will embrace, the Torah and Yiddishkeit. But the problem with Reform Jews only becomes in the present political state of Israel, where there's a fight here, a battle over who should control the religious dimensions. You know, that's the issue. But on Erev Rosh Hashanah, I think we should embrace every Jew, and that's what I'd like to do.
Start distressing words of hatred.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. But let's hope that we'll see the light on Rosh Hashanah, and it'll be a day of love and appreciation for every single Jew. Let's move on to page 4, and we're studying now a section in Hoshea Hanavi in Perek Yudal. Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha ki kashalta bavonecha. This is the Haftorah that we're going to read this coming Shabbos, which is called Shabbos Shuva. And the Navi cries out to the people of Israel to return to Hashem. We were guilty and we fell short. We were deficient. Kashalta bavonecha. Kichui machem dvarim, take with you words of castigation that are meant to arouse you to do tshuva, shuva Hashem. And Ibn Ezra says the opening word in this parasha is shuva, and shuva means ma'at ma'at. It's a process, a slow process. It's not overnight. Ad Hashem, until eventually you reach God. Vitam, what is the meaning of kashalta be'avonecha? It means ein mi yekimcha rak Hashem levado. You have reached the level in which only Hashem can uplift you and bring you back. The Radak points out that the phrase kechu imachem dvarim is eini shoel michem b'tshuva. I'm not asking in your tshuva for kesef or zov, for olos. I'm not asking you to spend your precious money and bring karbonos. Ella, all I'm asking for is dvarim tovim. I need diburim, I need speech, good speech, tisvadu, that you should confess your sins. Veshuva al Hashem, and return to Hashem b'chol levavchem, v'lo b'sfasayim b'lvad, but it has to be a sincere tshuva from the depths of your heart. I'm not asking for money, I'm not asking for karbonos, I'm asking for a heartfelt tshuva. And the Gemara in Masechta Brachos, in the name of Rabbi Avos, says, b'mokom shebalei tshuva omdim, tzadikim gemurim einam omdim. A person who does tshuva after he faced all the challenges and all the inclinations, and yet, despite the low level that he reached, he's able to lift himself up in tshuva. He is in a place where even a tzaddik gomor, a complete righteous person who never violated any sin, is not on that level. And the Rambam in the 7th parak of Hilchos Tshuva describes the level of a bal tshuva. And he speaks to the heart of a bal tshuva, and he says to him, "Al yidama on the bal tshuva shumaruchak. Don't imagine to yourself that you, as a bal tshuva, are far away And you can't approximate the level of a tzaddik because of all the sins that you're guilty of. Ein adover kein, says Ram, you're making a mistake. Ella, but rather, Baal Tshuva is ahuv. He's beloved. V'nechmad, and he's cherished. Lifnei borei, in the context of the creator of the world. Ki'ilo chata me'olam. It's as if he never sinned. V'lo odin, it's even better than that. Shescharo harbe, he has even more schar. Sharei tam tamchet, he's tasted the pleasures of sin, and nevertheless pirish v'menu, we left it out. He separated himself from kavash yitzro, he overcame his yetzer. That was a tremendous nisoyon, and in succeeding in overcoming all these temptations, and he's victorious in this test. He gets to the level, says the Rambam. He reaches a level in which even a tzaddik gomer cannot achieve that level. Klomar maloso gidola mimalos elu shalochatu meolam. His level supersedes beyond that of someone who never sinned in his life, because he's kovesh yitzro. He has been exposed to the yetzer hara. And now he's able to discipline the Yetzer Hara. Therefore, says the Rambam, Gedola Tshuva, how great is Tshuva? Shema Kareves says, Ha'adam L'Shechina, brings a person close to the Shechina. Shenema, and he quotes the Pasuk in Hosea. From this coming Shabbos is Haftorah, Tshuva, Yisrael, Ad Hashem Elokecha. You can go all the way to the Shechina. He quotes other Pasukim, and then the Rambam describes that level of dveikus in Hashem that the Baal Tshuva reaches, he achieves. Emesh, just yesterday, before he did Tshuva, hayasanui lifnei hamakom, he was hated by the Ribono Shel Olam because of his rebellious sins. Meshukatz, meruchak, toeva. I mean, the Rambam uses every single adjective that you can think of to describe the despicable level, the repulsive level of this Rasha, of this evildoer before he did Tshuva. And he was far distant from Hashem. He was a toeva. He was an abomination in front of God. Vayom. And today, just the next day, Emesh means last night at twilight. Now it's today. Hu ahuv. He's beloved. He's nechmad. He's cherished. Korov, he's close to Hashem, the Yedid. He's a close friend of Hashem. And that's why when Chazal speak about chet, that sin is marchik, it distances a person from Hashem. The flip side is tshuva, which brings a person close to Hashem. And the Rambam goes on in the next halacha to describe that chet gomur hu lomar lebal tshuva, we're not allowed to remind of Baal Tshuva, Zechor Masech Rishonim, of his original actions, how low you are, Olazkir Lefonov, or even to mention those sins in his presence, Kidei Levaisho, in order to humiliate him, Olahazkir Dvar Vinyonim Adomim Lehem, even if he only hints at it, you know, and he mentions something similar. Let's say a guy was involved in a scandal and he mentions another scandal, but he's trying to embarrass him by reminding him of his low level. And now we're talking about a person who's a Baal Tshuva, and he repented of his sins. Then the Rambam says, by reminding him of his earlier misdeeds, he violates Honoyas Dvarim. The Torah says, Lo sonu ish es amiso. We are enjoined from hurting someone, and spiting someone, and causing anguish to someone. Be careful, and be very, very meticulous. When you're dealing with a Baal Tshuva, you got to talk to them about their great achievements and not mention anything in their previous life, any guilt or any sins that they may have committed. That's, if you do so, you're humiliating a human being and you are violating the Iser of Onas Dvarim. And now we move on to page 4. And here we look at a statement in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. We know that one of the greatest sins that the people of Israel was guilty of was the Chet HaEgel. And yet, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi has a very unique approach to the Chet HaEgel. And basically, He asks the question, why would the people of Israel be guilty of such a terrible sin? They were on such a great level, they should have been able to overcome any sort of yetzer, of a, you know, a pull or an allurement towards this terrible sin. Says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, lo asu Yisrael sa'egel, is all part of a divine plan. Litein pischon pel abali tshuva. When a person sins, he feels a sense of pessimism, and he thinks, I'm too far gone. I've crossed all the red lines. There's no way I can come to tshuva. That's what Acher said. You know, Elisha ben Avi. There's no room for me to come back in tshuva. Mi yitein v'yiel avavam ze lahem liyira osi kol hayomim. Hashem organized it in such a way, again, the Jewish people were guilty as well, but the setup, in a sense, the framework was organized as part of a divine scheme. And what did Hashem do? He pointed out that even after the Chet Ha'Egel, the people of Israel were accepted to tshuva. Here's a perfect example that personifies the power of tshuva, even for a violation on a national level of the most severe of all sins. V'imchata yachid, if an individual sins, omrim lo, klachetzal yachid, chatu tzivur, omrim lo, klachetzal tzivur, take a look at the power of tshuva for the yachid, for the individual, for the tzivur, for the community. Rashi embellishes this statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi in the Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah Daf Talit Amud Beis. Rashi says, lo asu Yisrael sa'ega klomar, giborim. These were powerful, mighty people, in, again, in the spiritual realm. Ushlitim b'yitzrav, they had absolute control over their evil inclination. Lo yaroilis gabar yitzrav aleihem. It wouldn't make any sense that the yitzrav would overcome them to such an extent that they would worship a calf, a golden calf. Ella, but rather gzeres hamelech haisa. This was all part of a divine decree. Lishlot bam. That the Eitz Hara would have control over them and control and subdue them. K'dei liton pischon pele bali tshuva shim yomar hachote. If the chote, the sinner, comes forward, he says, lo ashim, there's no point to my doing tshuva. Shelo yikableni, God will not restate me or reinstate me, meaning he will not accept my tshuva. Is Omrim lo, we say to him, say ulamad mi maisa egel, go look at the episode of the egel, look what a terrible sin. And nevertheless, Kipro, there was kapara for the egel, then his kablu b'tshuva, and the tshuva was accepted. And at this point, I would like to fast forward to page 6. Again, there's a lot more on page 5, but we don't have time for that. There are two statements in the Gemara about tshuva and the greatness of tshuva in two different mesechtas, and we want to compare and contrast them. The first one we want to look at is in Yuma Peivav, and that's Rabbi Yochanan. Gedola tshuva shedoches losa seshabat Torah. Let's understand what this is all about. If a man marries a woman and he divorces her, and she goes ahead and marries another man, the first husband is not allowed to take back his original wife, even if she gets a divorce from her second husband. That's called Machzir Grushos Oliachash Nises. And a similar law applies in a case of a married woman who is guilty of adultery. She can never go back to her husband. And that's a law, so that if he wants to remarry this woman, he cannot do so. Why? Because once she was divorced and married another man, that's it. However, there's one situation in which, at least on a symbolic level, this violation was overruled, and that's the mitzvah of tshuva. Even if the people of Israel rebelled against God, and therefore their sin is to be compared to adultery, then God, l'chora, cannot take back the Jewish people. No. Hashem, through the power of tshuva, will override this prohibition and he will receive and reinstate the people of Israel through tshuva excuse me, and the marriage relationship will be reinstated. And this is all based on a pasuk in Yirmiyahu HaNavi that says the following. The pasuk reads, "Halo, chanof tichnof ha'aretz ahi," meaning you have polluted the land, but v'yad zonis, and you have committed adultery, Reim Rabin with many different lovers, but nevertheless, Shuve Lai Nu'um Hashem, return to me, says God. In other words, the relationship between the Jewish people and the Holy One is compared to that between a husband and a wife. And if his wife commits adultery, she's not permitted to return to her husband. However, although if we apply this to the Jewish people who have committed disloyalty to God, they should therefore not be allowed to return to God. Hashem says, we're going to override this rule, this law, this sin, and for the sake of tshuva, Hashem will reinstate the Jewish people. That's the first Gemara we wanted to look at in Yuma Pei Vav. That's Rabbi Yochanan. Now we want to look at a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Hei, and here we have a statement of Shmuel. Bo asara anoshim bnei adam v'yoshvu lefanov. Now, 10 people come and they sat in front of him. This is from Yechezkel Anovi. Now, when Yechezkel addressed himself to these 10 people, Omar Lem, he said to them, Chizu b'tshuva, it's time for you to repent. Omar lo, are you sure that we can repent? Eved shemachro rabo, once the master sells his eved, or isha shegir shabala, or a husband divorces his wife, klum yesh la ze al ze klum, at this point the relationship is completely severed. And therefore, what's the point to doing tshuva, to come back to our master? The master sold us, and therefore he is no longer connected to us. Or our husband gave us a get and divorced us, and therefore there's no possibility of any relationship. Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Navi, Yechezkel Navi, and Marlem tell them, Eze Sefer Krisus Imchem Asher Shlachtiyo, did I ever in fact give a sefer krisus, meaning a get, to sever the relationship between you and between me, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and your mother, meaning Knesset Yisrael? Now you're asking, did Hashem sold you like an eved that's sold by his master? To which of my creditors have I sold you? And therefore, we should derive from this that Hashem never severed his ties with the Jewish people. So we want to look now at an article written by the Zev Yitarev. His name was Rabbeinu Binyamin HaKohen. And he sees a contradiction between these two Gemaras, these two statements, one of Rabbi Yochanan and Yuma, and the other of Shmuel and Sanhedrin. Because clearly, according to the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan in Masechta Yuma, there was a divorce given to Klal Yisrael, because what's the whole point of Rabbi Yochanan's presentation here about tshuva? He's saying that there's a violation of a law here. The wife was sent away. She received a get. She was divorced. Then she went ahead and had relations with other men. And according to the law, the original husband cannot remarry this woman, but Hashem overrides this law, this prohibition, for the sake of tshuva. But clearly, it is assumed by Rabbi Yochanan that Klal Yisrael, after they sinned, had the status of a grusha, of a woman who was divorced. And yet, according to Shmuel and Sanhedrin, the Navi says, Eze Sefer Krisus Shalachtia, did I ever send any sort of bill of divorce to your mother, meaning to Knesset Yisrael? Clearly then, there's a contradiction here between Rabbi Yochanan, who assumes that there's a lotase here of Machzir Grushasa, that the people of Israel were sent away with a get, as opposed to the Navi, as quoted by Shmuel, who says that I never gave a get to the people of Israel. And he quotes here in the next paragraph, which we don't have time for, a Sifri. A Sifri is a Medrash Halacha at the beginning of Parashas Hazinu, which is this week's Parasha. And according to the Sifri, Asida Knesset Shel Shetomel Tnei Kosh Bron Shalom, Kvar Hechtavto Lemar Hein Yishlach Isis Ishto, Omer La, Klum Hechtavti, I never gave a get. And we see clearly from this statement in the Sifri that God never delivered to Klal Yisrael a bill of divorce. V'chi grushim atem li beis Yisrael. Are you like a woman, a wife who was sent away with a divorce? So then, going back to Rabbi Yochanan, what does Rabbi Yochanan mean when he says that there's a violation of a lotas of machzeh grushos? Rabbi Yochanan presumes that Klal Yisrael received a divorce. If they never received a divorce, as indicated by Yeshayahu Hanavi in the Sifri here in Azinu, then why does Rabbi Yochanan say that great is tshuva because it overrides a lotas in the case of a divorced woman who wants to be returned by her husband? And here we look at page 8. And he says the following. When it says in Yeshayahu HaNavi, Komar Hashem Eze Sefer Krisus Imchem Asher Shlachtia, did I actually send a bill of divorce to your wife? Yesh Lahavin, we have to understand, Eze Tshuva Yizu, what was the answer of Hein Bavanoseichem Nimkartem Ubish Echem Sholcha Imam, which would indicate that in fact they were sent away and they were given a bill of divorce. Hein Bavanoseichem Nimkartem Bipish Echem Shilcha Imachem. You just finished telling me that they never received a bill of divorce. Now you're telling me Bavanoseichem Nimkartem Bipish Echem Sholcha Imachem. So what's going on over here? There seems to be a contradiction in the words of the Navi on this very fundamental question, whether we, the Jewish nation, received the bill of divorce or did we not? Ulam Nira, take a look at the lines that are highlighted. He says, Muchach mizeh rabusa nifla. We derive from this simply by mathematical calculation a tremendous chiddush. And that is whole v'lo nimku ela machmas ha'avon v'lo nishlecha eim rak machmas ha'pesha, that the reason why we did in fact receive a bill of divorce is because of our sin, because of our pesha, is therefore once they do tshuva, and here's the key word, nekru, we remove, we undermine from its very root the avon u'pesha, the sin which was the Sibas HaMachir, Sibas HaGerish. What was the reason why they received a get? Why were they sold like an eved by his master? Because of the Avam of the Pesha. Now they do Tshuva. Tshuva has the power to undermine the Avera and to remove the sin from its very root. Is Hu Adin Nekro B'Tel HaMachir Atzma. If we remove the sin, then the sale itself is not valid. The sale was done because of a sin, but the sin was removed. Nekru bitlu agerishin atzman. Now the very bill of divorce is going to be voided because it was only given because of the avonu pesha, but now they did tshuva. And this is what Chazal mean when they say shavu me'ava. If the tshuva is a tshuva me'ava, then zdonos nasu kizochios. Then those sins are now transformed into merits. And even in the case of shavu me'ira, where the fear of punishment, let's say, or the fear or the awe of God is what motivated a person to tshuva, is donos nasi kishkogos. There's no longer an avera here, b'mezid, it's not a deliberate sin, but rather a shogeg, an unintentional sin. And therefore, if the sin doesn't exist, there's no longer pesha and amezid, there's no longer merida, some sort of rebellion against God, which was the original cause for the mechir and the gerishin, as the pasuk says, "Bavonoseichem nimchartem ubipishachem sholchimachem," is nekru mechiru. We void the sale and the gerishin itself, as if they were never sold and there was never a divorce. And this is the amazing power of tshuva that Rabbi Yochanan is pointing to, Shet Tshuva Keres Avon B'Pashki Lohay Me'olam. Tshuva has the power of uprooting or undermining a sin in such a way that it's as if the sin was never committed to begin with. Is therefore as a result, Oker HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God will remove what that which he did as a result of the sin, because the sin no longer exists, namely the Mechira or the Gerishin. So Achra Tshuva, after the Bnei Yisrael did Tshuva, you ask the question, HaNekru HaGerishin Kilu Me'olam Lo Nisgarsha. In other words, there was a get, but now through Tshuva we're retroactively uprooting and voiding the original Gerishin. And therefore, that's what Rabbi Yochanan means when he says, G'dola Tshuva Shedoches Losa Seshavat Torah. What he meant to say was that the get was given, the get was delivered, but the get was invalidated retroactively by tshuva. We see the power of tshuva, that now what would have been before the tshuva a violation of matzah grushas, of remarrying his grusha, because God did in fact give the get gerushin, now he's okay the gerushin l'mafreya, he removes the get retroactively, is therefore ko'amar Hashem. Now we understand what the Navi was saying when he said, eze get krisus, where's the sale? When did I give you a divorce? Meaning that now that retroactively the divorce was nullified through tshuva, then you have to understand that there was never a divorce to begin with. So it's a fascinating concept, the way I call it the science of time as far as the Jewish religion is concerned, that things that happen and really did happen, now they never happened, and they really never happened. That's the power of Mafreya, retroactively undermining a sin through tshuva. And therefore, at the bottom of page 8, going on to the top of page 9, we begin to understand the Sifri that we said, that we quoted earlier, the Hafti Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'chi Grusha Matem Li Beis Yisrael, are you considered like a divorced wife? Ko'amar Hashem, Eiz a Sefer Krisus Imchem, I never gave a Sefer Krisus. Ein HaPirush, it doesn't mean Shalom Nasan HaGet Lem Klal. That's not what the Sifri is saying, that the people of Israel never received a get. But rather, they received the get Krisus, but nevertheless, Nekar, that get Krisus is invalidated, it's voided, Venis Batel, B'Tshuvasam, as a result of that Tshuva. And he quotes here Mitzudas David, one of the commentaries on Tanakh, who says, Rav David Pardo, Kishetshuvaso Nekar HaKrisus, through the power of tshuva, they undermined and invalidated the Krisus, the divorce, Ubetshuvia Nekar Shiluchim, and therefore the divorce is completely null and void. So that which Rabbi Yochanan said, G'dola Tshuva Shedokas Losa Torah, he didn't mean that there will be a violation of Maxi Grusoso and Esse Dochalosas, because again, there is no get, and if there is no Dolosas, El Shedokas Losas, Shel Maxi Grusoso, Mipnesha Okeres HaGerushin. The Dechia is not to be Dochan, to violate the Lav, but rather to be Okeh the Gerushin, and therefore the Losa says completely removed. Leka Mimela Losa Selitchoso Bidin Esse Dochal. You don't have to activate the principle of Esse Dochal Losa, because there is no Losa, so there was never a get, because Tshuva has the power of removing the get retroactively. And not only that, sometimes Tshuva can take an Avero, which is a Chiyuv Onshim, and convert it into a Zchus, into a merit. That's how great Tshuva Me'ava is. And finally, because we only have a few minutes left, I want to talk a little bit about Parshas Hazinu, which we're going to read this coming Shabbos. Hazinu HaShamayim V'Adabera. Moshe Rabbeinu is addressing the heavens and the earth. Tishma Oretz Imrei Pi. And the ground itself, the earth itself, should listen to my words. So Rashi immediately asks the question, V'loma heyed b'hem shamayim v'aretz. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu appointing the heavens and the earth as witnesses for what he's about to say? Amar Moshe, Moshe declared, Ani basav adam, I'm flesh and blood, l'machar ani mes, tomorrow I'm going to die. Yomru Yisrael, the people of Israel will say, with regard to Parshas Nitzavim that we read last Shabbos and the Bris, lo kibalnu aleinu abris, we never accepted the Bris. Mi ba makhisham, who's going to now contradict what they say and counter argue against their denial of their commitment to the Bris? Is Heyed Ben Shamayim Va'aretz. Why Shamayim Va'aretz? Because Edim Shehen Kayomim Liolam. These are witnesses that will always exist. You know, you talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, he's here today but gone tomorrow, he's flesh and blood. But Shamayim Va'aretz, they're always there. And the Sifri adds another twist to what Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, Shema Tem Svurim Livroach, Me'al Kanfei Ashkino Lozuz Me'al Ha'aretz. Maybe you think that you can run away from the Shechina when the Shechina comes to demand justice and punishment and retribution. You're going to say, I'm going to run away from the Shechina. Reminds us of Adam HaRishon who was running away. Oh no. There's no place to run to. The Shechina is in Shamayim and Hazinu HaShamayim. And the Shamayim is together with us on this day of Bris. You want to run to the four, you know, the far-flung corners of the earth, and therefore you're going to hide from the Shechina? No. Hazina Shamayim and Tishma Oretz. The Oretz is with us, and you're entering into a Bris in the presence of Shamayim Oretz. There's nowhere where you can run to. And Rabbi Ben Chai says, Ki biyom Moso hayazeh, that this was stated by Moshe Rabbeinu on the very day of his death, and the beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu's lecture on the day of his death started with Atem Nitzavim, when he gathered together the entire people of Israel and said, Atem Kulchem Nitzavim Ayom, also Parshas Vayelech that we read after Parshas Nitzavim last week, is also on the day of Moshe Rabbeinu's death. Ben Mea V'Yesim Shonanochi Ayom, Moshe declares, today is my birthday, I'm 120. And B'etzem Ayom Hazeh Olol Haivarim, and there he gives the bracha and the klola. All this happened on one day. Says Rabbeinu B'chai V'da, you should know, Ki Klal HaParsha Zos, the entire parsha here, Shaya Moshe mitocheach, he's giving tochacha to Yisrael, Magile Mireshis Akris, he reviews the entire history from creation and on, all the highlighting all the main episodes, Veskola Koroslem, Beosin, he's even going to tell them what's going to happen in the future. He begins with Priyas Olam, with the creation of the world. He's going to complete it with the days of Mashiach, Zechor Yimos Olam, Banchel Elyon Goyim, Kloa, which means Shehinchil Elyon, the great God, gave to the Umos what they had to get, and if freedom will Shonoseim, this is at the Mice of Bavel afterwards, Lo Bochar Lechelko Mikulon Ki Im Yisrael. And from all the nations of the world, God chose one portion for himself, with a capital H, and that's Yisrael. And that's the Pasuk Ki Chelek Hashem Amo, that this chelik of this portion amongst the nations of the world is Amo, is the people of Israel. They were the chosen nation. Ki matzam b'derech hamidbar makom tov avo, he found them in the desert, in the wilderness. Yisov aveni yivonenel yisrenu kishon eno, he's going to take them from the wilderness as the apple of his eye, so to speak. And he's going to bestow upon them all the chasadim, all the great compassion, and all the great gifts. And he does with them whatever he can for them. And therefore we should be appreciating what God did for us. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is reviewing the history here. But what was the response of Klal Yisrael tragically? Shachachu, they forgot God. Hechisu, they got God angry. And that's what the pasuk means, which we'll read Amir Tzem in this parasha. Tzur Yilod Chateshi, Yakni'eu Bezorim B'tovos Yachisenu. It means that they were Kfuyei Tov, instead of feeling a sense of loyalty out of gratitude to Hashem for all the wonderful things that He gave them and bestowed upon them, they were ingrates. Misnakrim Elov. They related to God as if He was an alien, instead of the Rov Tov and the Shalva, instead of appreciating all the great gifts that they received from Hashem and all the peace and the serenity, instead of that, Vayishman Yeshurin Vayivat, Yeshurin, which is a reference here to Klal Yisrael, Vayivat means they kicked, sort of a kick of rebellion. Hayumenichem Avodas Hadon, instead of serving their master, who Meitiv, who did such great things for them, instead they served and they worshipped Elohim, Asher Lo Yodoum, other idols, other gods, and therefore Nenshu Bionish Golus, they were punished in a worse way than any other nation was ever punished. Yosef Mikol Uma. Nischaivu le'avod l'soneihem, they had to work and slave for those who hated them, their enemies. Terrible, terrible punishments. And the reason for that is because after all the chesed, all the kindness and compassion that Hashem did for this nation, like no other nation on the face of the earth, now they stand up and they rebel, they forget God, they anger God. All of a sudden God is alien, he's a stranger. Instead of having a sense of gratitude, they're ingrates, and they worship other idols. Hashem says the punishment is going to be very severe. There's no other nation on the face of the earth, says Rabbeinu Bachai, that suffered like the Jewish people. The Onish of Golus, again, there are many other nations that had to flee, and they were fugitives, and they had their own kind of Golus, but nothing like the Golus that affected Klal Yisrael. And that's why we have to recognize the immense miracle that despite that golus that's going on for so many centuries, millennia, we are still alive today. The people of Israel still exist. Umashlo hishbis zichram min ha'olam. Even though according to the strict law of justice, God should have expelled the people of Israel and maybe even destroyed them. But Midas Hadin, according to justice, the reason why God spared it, because the enemies of the Jewish people will gloat and they will say, Yir Osam Notzachas Umisgaberes. And that's what it means that Hashem, in order to avoid a terrible Chil Hashem, he spared the Jewish people. And the people of, again, there were plenty of Chil Hashem, you know, plenty of times where Hashem did not intervene and supernaturally change the catastrophes, and all the pogroms and the Holocaust came to fruition. But Asid, who we should know that there's hope and optimism for the future, Linoke Merishoyim, God will take vengeance against these evildoers, Almasha Shibdu B'Yisrael, because they subjugated the Jewish people and enslaved them. U'yishalem Kipolam, and he will bring about a retribution for their actions. And that's what the pasuk means. Li mikam v'shilem. Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheyikach mehem din imo ki yodin Hashem amo. And finally, the last statement that we want to study in Rabbeinu Bachai at the end of this long presentation. Ki kol ha'umos ya'ashrunu v'yashabcho sonu. Ultimately, the Navi predicts at the end of days, Harninu Goyim Amo, the nations of the world will validate the Jewish people. They will sing the praises of the Jewish people. And if not for the evil in this world today, we're very close to this happening. You know, the nations of the world, if they see with honesty and clarity what we're able to achieve as a small new nation, then Yeshabchu Osanu, they would praise us. Yirtzu Lidovek Benu Osanu, they want to get to know what our religion is like and they want to accept that religion. They will see how God meets out punishment and vengeance against all his enemies and the enemies of the people. And they will declare the keeper ad maso imo kloma shechaper ala oretz vel amo yoshe vole. There'll be a kapara process. This is all the nevuah of Liyosid Lavo, of the ultimate redemption. On this day of Rosh Hashanah, which we're about to enter, we should dedicate ourselves to tefillah and remember that no matter how far a person goes, nobody could go farther than Ben Chizkio, still when he turned to Hashem with prayer, and as we saw in the name of the Chinuch, the trua that we blow is a great prayer to Hashem, and the complexity of Rosh Hashanah, as we discussed, but nevertheless, the bottom line is, this is a day of judgment in which Hashem will stand up in our favor. He will sit on the Kisei HaRachamim, and with our tefillos, Hashem will be zochet, be written and inscribed in the book of life, in the book of happiness, for ourselves, our families, and all of Klal Yisrael. Amen. That should be our hope.